This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Welcome back to Open Mind with me, Frankie Bridge. Today, I am joined by Vicky Patterson.
Oh, hi, Franks.
So funny, isn't it? There's no one here to be like, normally when you do something, everyone starts cheering and clapping on these. It's just nothing.
Do you know what? It's good for me ego, Franks. It keeps us in line. That's what I need. I need to be reminded every so often. Not everyone's going to clap, Vicky.
I know. I feel like most people probably know you from Geordie Shore back in the day. That's kind of where we first kind of heard about you. But now you've done like loads of TV presenting and you won The Jungle.
Yeah, I did.
Massive. And I feel like for you, The Jungle like was when things kind of really took a turn on how people kind of perceived you in a way.
It's weird, Franks. I was literally just saying the other day, like, it is what everyone knows us from, Geordie Shore. But like, that was 10 years ago now, you know.
10, was it?
Yeah, 10 years ago. It's coming up for its 10-year anniversary. And I'll always be dead grateful to Geordie Shore for giving us a platform. Like, I've been able to do loads of great stuff since, but I proper consider that chapter of my life over. I loved The Jungle. It gave everybody an opportunity to see as something different. Do you know what I mean? As not just the girl who swore or shouted or slut dropped. Like, I could do more than just do the S's. There was so much more. So yeah, it was nice.
I could do so much more. Yeah. I feel like what made you go on Geordie Shore? Like, how old were you then when you went on Geordie Shore?
So I was like about 22. And I'm obviously 32 now, come 33 this year. Do you know what? There wasn't a huge thought process behind it. Like, there wasn't. God, Frankie, I've got to be dead honest. Like, and I'm sure you get this, if I was to make the decision now in my 30s, I'd sit and agonise over the ramifications and plus and minuses. I'd do a list. I'd be so methodical. But in your 20s, you're just like, fuck it, this sounds like a laugh. Like, that was my exact thought process. I'd left uni. I didn't have a job that, like, stimulated us or particularly interested us. I was working in nightclubs and bars. And I thought, this is an excuse to just get paid to party, really. And, I mean, in your early 20s, that's the dream. So I went for it. And don't regret it. It's a couple of shady moments that I wish I could probably...
Small regrets.
A couple of little things that, like, won't be going on the CV. But other than that, it was what it was, and it was a fantastic experience that led us to where I am now, so can't be.
But don't you feel like what you did... Because, look, I watched Geordie Shore, and I totally judged you all, not going to lie. Like, I was like, oh, I can't believe they're doing that on telly or whatever, but I loved it, and I watched it. But let's not forget... Most of us have done a lot of those things, just not on camera. And that's what I always say to people. And I'm like, I think reality TV gets a lot of stick and people that have been on reality TV. But also, I think sometimes you have to look at it from another angle in that, look, most of you own your own houses or can have been able to, okay, if you didn't buy a house, have bought cars or whatever, that you've earned money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, for me, that's fucking clever. Like, you've managed to do that from, like, getting pissed and doing what most people did in their 20s, just on TV.
Well, I think there's, like, our complete... Thank you for that, I suppose. But I do get sometimes really precious. I've been in the industry for quite some time now, so I'm not as sensitive as I used to be. I am... still a pro Susie sensitive, so like, but no, I think I've got a slightly thicker skin, so if anybody wants to say anything about reality TV stars, like, I'll openly take it on the chin. I understand it must be frustrating for certain people to see us who essentially are famous for being talentless at the core. Like, just that is how people view it. And when they probably do see us having fancy holidays or buying your third property or driving around in flashy cars, like, I completely understand people feeling a bit like, what the hell? Like, what did you do to deserve this apart from have sex and get drunk on the telly? Like, don't think for one single second the irony is, like, it's wasted on me. It's not. But
yeah,
we got a lot of stick, mate. And I do think there were some things we did that were super controversial. And like I say, I'm not really proud of. And I do wish I'd kept private. But we were young, we were silly, we were paving the way. We didn't necessarily know what we were doing, especially in the cases of like Geordie Shore, super controversial TV that hadn't necessarily been shown in Britain before. So we were pretty wet behind the ears and didn't know how it was gonna pan out. So I don't know if we're doing stuff that was worse than what other people were doing, or if we were just naive.
Do you think you got like swept up in it, or do you think people kind of I can't think of the word, won't come to me, but like encouraged it, people around you?
Oh, no, yeah, I think that was the right word, Frank, so don't be so hard on yourself there.
Yeah.
I feel super conflicted when I answer this, because on one hand, I have to own it. There's no point in me,
yeah,
you know what I mean? There's no point in me saying like, oh my God, I was led astray, MTV are evil, the producers put words in my mouth. I didn't, like, it's a structured reality TV show, so there are situations that aren't 110% real, and there's an element of it being contrived. I can own a lot of the things that happened on that and say I was young, I was silly, I didn't know what I was getting myself in for. I'm not entirely sorry for all of it, because a lot of people do the same, just not in front of millions of people in a TV crew. But there's another side where I sort of think, I got swept up and carried away in what I thought everybody wanted me to be. And I often say I was a caricature of myself by the end. Like, I can be loud and I can swear and, you know what I mean, boisterous and all the rest of it. But when people come to expect that of you, you just act up. You know what I mean? You just, everything's amplified. And I become the Vicky that I thought everybody wanted to see. And honestly, I lost a lot of myself. And that version was a bit of a tosser. So I am pleased I left when I did. I am pleased I turned the corner.
And is that why you left?
There's a couple of reasons I left, Frank. Like, so you join at 22, you're one person. And then 5 years later, when I left, like, that's 27, like, you're a different person. Like, I remember that period of growth is huge in your 20s. And I remember thinking, I want a really nice boyfriend. And I want to wake up in a house like with clean floors and not with like dirty used makeup wipes everywhere that aren't mine. And I just wanted the next chapter of my life. There was a couple of things. Like, the crew had a joke that I used to leave every series. Like, I'm such a drama queen. Like, every series I'd be like, that's it. I'm fucking done with this.
I'm done.
I want to be a TV presenter. I'm gone. And I'd go and I'd be back with my tail between my legs, mate. Like, I just hadn't quite built up the confidence to go. But yeah, I think it was series nine. And I left and it was final. And it was on great terms. There was no big, like, showdown. It was just, I need something. I need a new challenge. Still love like MTV for the opportunity and all that, and I'm just really happy I made the decision to go when I did, because you can say, oh, it's Vicky from Geordie Shore, but then also people could go, oh, it's Vicky from Loose Women, or Vicky from like The Jungle or MasterChef, whatever. Like, I didn't quite get pigeonholed, and I reckon if I'd left it a little bit longer, frankly, I might have just tipped the scale the other way, and that was all I would have been known as for the rest of my life.
and is that when you then went on to The Jungle?
So I left end of 1 year, and then the next year I worked on my own show called Judge Geordie on MTV. Essentially like me driving around in a car with me fit scouse pal Alex Cannon, solving people's problems, so sort of like Jeremy Kyle but less of a knobhead, I think, at least. And yeah, it was fun. It was for MTV audiences, it was a laugh, but it's where I first got my teeth into not, it wasn't my life on show, if that makes sense. It was other people's, and a level of privacy, and it's infectious. So yeah, I did that, and then that year was the year I went in The Jungle. So it was pretty seamless. It was dead quick.
And did you find when you went into The Jungle, your aim was to kind of show people this, well, like, not the other side of you, the real you, or that side of you, I suppose?
Honestly, like, no real game plan, which I think, I suppose, everyone says, other than to just be myself. I know that when when I went in the jungle, for example, even though I didn't see it, like everyone told us afterwards, Twitter just exploded. Get her out. We don't want her in there. Like, reality TV scum. She's going to ruin it. Like, I don't know what everyone thought I was going to do in there, Frankie. Like, whether I was just going to whip out a bottle of, like, Jägermeister and have, like...
Can't get drunk.
Tony Hadley doing body shots off us. Like, it's obviously not what I was intending. But people had their preconceived notions, and I can't blame them or be mad. But within, like, 24 hours, that reaction on Twitter had gone to me being... the favourite to win and stayed that way till the end. It worked out well. So I just wanted to show people that although I won't run away from it, I was on Geordie Shore and that's part of who I am, I've definitely, there's more to us. So it was nice to be able to do
that. Grown up as well.
Aye, mate, yeah. I grew up and it was lovely to be able to show people that, I think, especially a big audience like ITV and The Jungle get.
Yeah. Did you get, like, when you meet people, do you ever feel self-conscious of the fact that they'll have like a preconceived conception of you, or do you not really, does it not really bother you?
I think everyone cares what people think to a certain extent. I'd be lying. I'm not one of those super cool people who's like, yeah, fuck it. I know who I am. I'm not. I'm desperate to be liked. I meet anybody, especially women of a certain age, I just have this feeling that's like, yeah, God, you're really not going to want me talking to your daughter, are you? And it's horrible because I'm not that person anymore. And I'm not even sure I was that person when I was there or whether it was just a lot of hype. But yeah, I do still get nervous that people are just going to think I'm like this one particular character. But you just got to hope people will judge you on how you act now and how you behave and the person you are. I always judge people how they treat me, so yeah, fingers crossed anyway. Hope for the best.
Yeah. Yeah, just gotta hope for the best.
Yeah. Hope they didn't have Sky.
Because I think you're quite good on Instagram, I think, of kind of giving like both sides of like the good parts of life and like the not so fun parts of life. Is that like a conscious decision you made to kind of show people that not everything is perfect all the time?
I think a couple of years ago, I just had this really bad year, Frankie, it was just the worst. And I had like a couple of really bad things happen to us. And I've always tried to cultivate this image of like strength and positivity. I think as women, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. But yeah, I did. I tried to be super strong all the time. And I just, by the end of the year, had no fight left in us to be strong at all. Like I hadn't. I was so drained, like the filter kind of fell off, so to speak, on social media. Like I just couldn't keep up the pretense of being super positive and strong anymore. So I let that facade fall and sort of telling people like, oh, I'm struggling today. And actually this has took the wind out of my sails and blah. And it just went from there really organically into the more honest I was, the more open, the more vulnerability I showed, the dialogues that were being opened in my comment section and on my Instagram, like they just made me feel better. And I felt like they were making other people feel better knowing they weren't alone. It just stemmed from there. So I've totally ran with it. This really like honest approach to socials. Like it's not normal to be happy every day. It's not the truth that every day you wake up and you're super, super positive and just buzzing like an old fridge. Like, no, we have hangovers. We have sad days. Like, we have moments where we don't want to get out of bed. So I just think it's important for anyone with any sort of like platform or responsibility to use it wisely.
I kind of always say that. I'm always like, actually, people think that when I talk about my mental health or how I'm feeling, or if I'm having a bad day, people are kind of like, oh, you're so good because it helps other people to not feel alone and to understand. And I'm like, yeah, but it really helps me as well. Not going to lie. Like seeing hundreds of people underneath be like, oh my God, like I had a really bad day the other day and I had no idea why. I just was having one of those days and I was like, oh, I hate life today and there's no reason. And literally my inbox was full of people being like, oh my God, I'm so glad you said that because I feel like that today. And then like even my mates were texting me and being like, oh babe, I've just wanted to cry for no reason today, or I've been so angry today. And I was like, oh, this is great. Like, I would never have known that if, like, I hadn't have said. And yet now I know that it's not just me. And I'm like, I still had no reason why it was like that. But I was like, oh, like, loads of people are feeling the same. So it's funny, like, it's weird. We know that talking about something is going to make it better, but it's still sometimes one of the hardest things to do. And I suppose it's like working out. We know working out's going to make us feel good, but can't always be asked.
Oh, God. So, like, all the things that we know we should do, you're so right. Like, they're the last thing you want to do when you feel blue. And my life coach says you need to, this is one of the things that's helped me, especially during lockdown, because I don't know about you, but I've had so many more like low and shaky days than I would have had normally.
It's been like a roller coaster.
Oh, totally, mate, totally. But he told me to put together a list. It called your bounce back Bible, right? And it's like, you probably know this. I'm preaching at the choir. I don't mean to tell you how to suck eggs, but it's like you write a list of things that make you happy and just good for your soul. So for me, it's like watching Friends or Modern Family. It's having a nice bath. Mm. It's doing a workout. It's getting fresh air. It's speaking to your mum. It's like stuff that you know is guaranteed to put a smile on your face. An upbeat playlist, for example, whether it's The Greatest Showman, Little Mix, Saturdays, whatever it is, like, you know there's going to be some songs that get your feet tapping and make you smile. But you couldn't, when those dark clouds descend on you, you couldn't pull those out of your Spotify if you tried. You just wouldn't see them. You'd have your blinkers onto them because you want to be sad. You want to be angry. You can't pull yourself out of it. So yeah, make your list on a good day, for the day, like, you know, when you're happy, make your list. And then when you are having sad days, shaky days, look at your list. And it's just so much easier to pull yourself out of your funk when the stuff that does do it is there in front of you. That's kind of what I'd...
That's such a good idea.
Yeah, bounce back Bible.
It's so true. So true. You can't think of those things. And like the whole music thing, like, I don't know if you, like, back in the day, like if you broke up with a boyfriend or something, all you'd want to listen to is like songs that are going to make you cry. Well, really, you should be listening to like Independent Ladies or whatever it is. Yeah. I don't know. There's something that's going to make you be like, yeah. But instead, you're like, listen to Boys to Men. And crying as well,
no, absolutely. Or like you'd listen. You know, in a relationship when you've got your song, you just put your song on.
Gotta have that on repeat.
just add fuel to the fire. Let's fucking make this worse.
But it's true though, isn't it? It's like if I'm having a really bad day and I'm sitting at home and I'm thinking, oh, like I do this thing where like I don't want to leave the house. And I mean, obviously in lockdown, that's not been an option. But and then I get into that thing of like, oh, no one really wants to hang out with me anyway. You know, I'm boring, or just bring everyone's mood down. And then like someone will text me and be like, do you want to do something? And I'll be like, no. Go. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's going to make you feel better. You have got friends. They've just texted you. But no, you'd rather sit at home and feel like you're lonely and everyone hates you and you've got nothing to do.
It's like...
It's just mad what your head
does. It's a self-harm, isn't it? It's like a self-harm. Like, we're so tough on ourselves. And like we do, we wallow. So yeah, if you write your little list of things that make you happy when you are happy, we can just grab them when we are feeling like being Debbie Downers, and it'll perkle up.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Talking about working out and stuff, you've had like quite an up and down, like publicly relationship with like your body and training and things like that. And you used to get quite a lot of stick about your body image at one point, didn't you? Like that must have been really hard for you.
I just don't think, like in terms of when I was sort of a bit younger and when I was like quite new to the industry, like I think it was super difficult to just find a balance and to make people happy. Like, let's have it right. Like I was too big for people at one point, then I was too small for people at one point, and actually it doesn't really matter what people think. It was what was healthy and what was good for me. So I think your 20s are such a a decade of self-discovery and also crippling insecurity. So I was always just trying to be what I thought everyone wanted me to be, and I was always trying to look like everyone else looked. Like, this industry is, and I just imagine society in general, I don't know why I'm making it smaller, it's general. It's so difficult for women. But ultimately, yeah, just feeling like there's fucking no way I am spending any more time trying desperately to look like someone else. Like, I'm a size 10 to 12, I've got boobs and a bum, and there's no way I'm going to apologise. So, yeah, I think I'm just in a place now where I just own it.
Because there seems to be a big thing with the Geordie Shore girls of having plastic surgery. You're not one of those, as far as I know.
No, God, no. I mean, if I had had loads of plastic surgery and still looked like this, it would be a bit of a punch in the dick.
Shut up.
No, I'm natural.
But I just think that's so sad. Like, there is nothing wrong with it. My biggest hate is, like, people have so much to say about people having plastic surgery, and it's like, if they want it, it's their body, shouldn't offend you. Like, whatever, let them get on with it. But I just feel like it's so funny that it just seems to be so tightly in that circle of Geordie Shore girls that it seems to have really become a thing. And I think I interviewed Marnie once and spoke to her about all the things she's had done, and she admitted that she wasn't any happier by having them done and things like that. And it just made me really sad that it seems to be this circle of girls that seem to feel like that's what they have to do. Why do you think that happened? I mean, you can't speak
obviously
on behalf
of
them, I know, but
so weirdly, we don't all think the same. So
that's strange.
Yeah, you know, I was a little, the only thing I can possibly say is, like, I can't comment on what the girls have had. Like, as much as we had a great time of our lives spent together, sort of for 5 years, like, we don't really speak much now. No hard feelings, like, just because they're not sitting at my table anymore.
It's life,
yeah,
isn't
yeah
it?
Of course.
It's like leaving school.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, I always say, like, you don't still check in on how Barry from accounts is doing, like, when you leave your job, do you? Like, you let Barry crack on, and as long as you know, he seems happy. So the girls all seem super happy. And yeah, granted, we've made different choices and our careers have gone different ways, but I can't speak for their decisions. The only thing that set me apart, and I kind of feel like this might have some relevance, I was slightly older. So, like, and it sounds like nowt, but 22 when I joined compared to some of them who were like 18. It's just 3 years more maturity. Maybe I was slightly more prepared to deal with the level of scrutiny or the microscope that we were put under. And maybe I just knew myself a bit more. Also, maybe I'm just a massive fanny. Like, I'm so scared of surgery and things. Like, that is, maybe that's just it. So who knows? I can't speak for them. I don't know what they've had done, but they seem happy enough. So they look fucking wicked, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think it just goes to show, though, that there's just so much. People obviously comment so much on the way that you guys look or looked on that show. And I don't know, I feel like that would be the last thing I would have thought of when watching it. Like, I just think it's nuts that's what they've, like, homed in on. I'm like, what about that part where, like, she fell over and her ass come out? Like, what?
Well, frankly, obviously, maybe you just weren't the type of person who fell over with her ass out. I think there's obviously a lot of people who are watching it whose bums were out on a regular occasion.
maybe that's what it was.
I'm sure
it's happened. I don't know. But, I mean, I started work very young, so I just wasn't allowed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Listen, if you ever want to go out and get your bum out, you know where I am.
Imagine Frankie's big night out. Her whole aim is to fall over with her ass out. Nobody needs to see that. I feel like one of the biggest things with you has been about, like, relationships, and, like, so many people have so many things to say about your relationships because I suppose we've seen a lot of them on TV when you were younger, and it seems to be something that it's spoken about a lot with you. Have you not found that, like, just really difficult? I mean, it's hard enough anyway.
So the start I've had, like, and I mean, I'm sure you can probably identify with this to a certain extent. I began living my life like adult life in the public eye. So especially in something like reality TV, by its very nature, is incredibly invasive. So all I've ever known is everybody knowing everything about my personal life. And actually, I struggle to now the way people don't really have to know that much about my private life. I struggle to know what to share and what not to share. More often than not, like I will pop on Instagram and just be like, I've got my period, it's the pits. And then my mum's like, well, just why, Vicky, why? No one had to know. Oh, because I'm just so used to everyone knowing everything. Like, I feel like I don't know where the off switch is now that I could probably use it. And also, like, I'm super grateful to the public for everything I have. I know that, for example, I don't have a discernible talent, so I can't say, oh, everybody loves me because I'm a really good singer, or, oh, everyone loves me because I'm a great dancer, or because I scored a goal for the country. Like, I can't say any of those things. What I can say is people warmed to me because they thought I seemed nice and normal. They warmed to me because they enjoyed my journey. And I'll always be incredibly grateful to them for taking an interest in me. So I feel like I don't feel like precious about my personal life. I actually think, well, kind of people have a right to know, which is a very strange way of thinking, I know, and a lot of people don't understand it. But yeah, if people hadn't supported me, then I wouldn't be where I was now. So if they want to know what I had for breakfast, they can fucking know.
Do you not find when you meet people that they find that hard? Has it made it harder to find someone because of that?
So for years I didn't trust anybody, Franks. Like, after I won the jungle, I just found it super difficult to trust anyone. I had a run of some really terrible fellas who were quite clearly just along for the ride. In terms of fame, I mean, they're...
Yes, it's all right. Yeah. We knew what you meant.
Good. Just clearing it up for anyone there.
Possibly for both, but...
Yeah. So I had a really bad run, and I had a lot of stories sold on us, and just a rubbish time. But it was based on my bad decisions and poor judgment. Mm. So I became a lot more protective of myself and my circle and who I let in. But actually, it still didn't matter. Like, I still met some shit fellas. Really, so, do you know what I mean? So I think you've just got to be wary, of course, protect yourself. But just be prepared. Like, you're going to meet the right one when you're going to meet them, and you probably are going to have to kiss some frogs along the way. Like, I've just had to try and almost look at it rather benevolently and just say, well, that was what it was. It's a very small price to pay for all the good things I had. Like, all the wrong ones led me to Erkan, who I really hope's the right one. So, no, I think I can kind of think, like, quite logically about it now. But, yeah, back in the day, I was just like, ah, I'm going to be alone forever. Everyone's just using me. I've got one over here. It was like that.
Yeah, you just threw in there, you've got one ovary.
Yeah, like, I just panicked.
Else, all in itself. Yeah.
I panicked I was going to have no kids and there's just going to be one ovary left. Like, I just panicked so much when I was younger. But yeah, just now I feel like I'm a lot more measured and just trusting in the universe.
Do you feel like you went through a stage of like anxiety and things like that, and obviously of like not trusting people and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's so hard to trust people when you've been hurt. I do think for a long time I let it cloud me judgment and assumed everyone was probably bad and became quite secular, closed myself off, suffered like insomnia, anxiety, everything after I won the jungle. I just felt like...
Really?
Everything was going to be taken away from us, Frankie. I had this wild imposter syndrome and I didn't deserve to be where I was, and everyone was going to wake up one day and realise I was just that girl from Geordie Shore and I wasn't the queen of the jungle and they were going to hate me again. And I was terrified it was going to be taken away as quick as it had came. And... my mental health suffered as a result, really. Not so much because of boys, but mostly more career.
I think as well, because as you get older, like obviously when I was in a couple of juniors, I was really young. But I think when you're younger and probably for you, like in Geordie Shore, you're not really aware that you need to build a career for yourself and that you need to like earn money to live and survive. And you do to a a certain extent, but not really. It's not until when you get older and you start thinking, oh, I want to have kids and I want to settle down. And then obviously working becomes more important because you need to earn a living and
provide.
And I think it's not until, yeah. And it's not until you get to that point that you're like, shit, like all this could end tomorrow, like you're saying. And you start thinking, like, I'm exactly the same. I get imposter syndrome in everything I do. And I've been working for like 17 years. And I still always think like, people think, oh, she's probably shit at that, or why is she there? Or I think someone's going to be like, this isn't your job. Like, you know, off you go, you know, that like it's, and I think so many people feel like that, no matter what career or industry they're in. And I think it's only when you start realizing that it is important that then you start panicking about it. Cause I'm sure in Geordie Shore, you were just like, oh, I've been paid. I'll go and buy myself a new outfit, or I'll spend it on alcohol, or I'll do this. And then as you get older, you're like, shit, I probably should have done something with that. Or, you know,
I know exactly what you're saying. I didn't even really, I don't know what, Frank, it's so interesting hearing how long you've been in the industry. Like, I bet you just feel like this is just all you've ever done, is it?
Yeah, I mean, I had a stage, I did, between S Club Juniors and the Saturdays, I worked in a shop, and I worked in Sugar Hut, actually, funnily enough.
I live across the road from there, Frankie, I can see it from my house.
Oh, do you? Yeah. Oh, so you're in Essex now.
Brentwood, oh. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, so I worked in Sugar Hut before it was like Sugar Hut on Towie. Yeah. So if I was always like, what, you worked in Sugar Hut? And I actually like really enjoyed that little period of life because for me it was like a bit of normal.
Yep.
But I got a lot of stick for it, like people being like, oh, you work in a shop now. And sometimes I used to be like, God, like, is there another job where like if you stop doing it and you do something else that people think you've like failed? It's like, I don't know, in this industry, if you're not in the public eye for like more than 10 days, it's like, where have they gone? They've disappeared and they're a failure, you know? And then I got in the Saturdays and then it kind of all started again. So I don't really know much different, but sometimes I look back at S Club Juniors and I think, oh, what did I do with my money? Like, I just spent it on like shit. Like, but I didn't realize back then, do you know what I mean? And yeah. and now I'm pretty much self-employed and you think about these things and whatever. And I suppose, again, like you said, it comes with age and getting older and being more aware.
You are so young in the like in S Club Juniors. You're not spending on like Pokemon cards or something, mate. Like, you couldn't have been putting house deposits down. Don't be so hard on yourself.
Pogs or something like that. Yeah, I know. But sometimes I think, oh God, like other people were much better with like being more sensible. Even in the Saturdays as well, to be fair. But I think it's just one of those things, like, I don't know, you do, I imagine after the jungle, so many more people knew about you than maybe probably would have watched Geordie Shore.
Yeah.
So some people probably wouldn't have even, like, you probably thought everyone watching it was thinking all these things and half of the people probably hadn't even seen it.
Yeah.
So things are always bigger in our own minds, aren't they?
Absolutely, like we create so much stuff up there.
Yeah, it's insane. And then you win it and everyone looking in from the outside probably thought, God, she's like probably living her best life now and loving her life. And then there's you not wanting to leave the house, not being able to sleep. It's just nuts.
Yeah, it's so weird because everyone will have just assumed that I was like on cloud nine, living my best life, presenting roles on This Morning, on Loose Women, like my own shows, great contracts with great brands, like didn't stop working. But inside I was just crippled with anxiety, like so scared that it was all going to be taken away from us within a second's notice, worried every day that that was just going to be the day that everyone woke up and realised, oh, hang on, she is a bit of a dick. Like, just felt so undeserving of everything that was coming my way and was unable to verbalise it. Like, I really struggled. The only way I got through that year really is I've got two therapists that I've been speaking to for years. The Speakmans, I don't know if you've heard of them. They go on This Morning very often. They're fear fighters as well. They're just great. So that was the only way I really managed to get through that year without imploding with all my self-doubt and worries.
But you seem like now you've kind of come out the other side of that and you feel it seem like you kind of have your head together a bit more. Do you kind of put that down to like working on yourself and doing things like therapy, and do you train? Like, what's your thing that you feel kind of keeps you ticking over?
Oh, I'm a huge believer in I feel like exercise is the least used antidepressant, most underutilized. So I always try and train, whether it's just like a walk in the park with Erkan, or whether it is like 20-minute HIIT workout, whatever you've got time for. I'm just nicer, I'm better when I exercise. My mind is not as much of a chaotic place to be. So I'm a firm advocate for training hard. I'd say eat right, but it's more like I believe in moderation, actually. Like, I'm not a very nice person when I'm just eating steamed greens and boiled chicken. Like, I'm cranky and I really don't like anybody else. So, no, I like cupcakes, I like cheese, I like gin and tonics. So just, I always try and have a balance, because life's for living. I have a life coach. He is completely imperative to me being well mentally. Still got me therapist. So there's a whole team and heap of stuff that I advocate doing if you can, because I just think mental health's super, super important, right?
Before you go, I need you to explain to me what is the difference between a life coach and a therapist?
Okay.
I've never really understood what a life coach is. Do I need one?
I would recommend everyone get one. Thanks. Like that little bounce back Bible. That wasn't my nugget. Like, don't think I'm the wise one. That's all Bill.
Yeah, that's all Bill.
A therapist will help you make sense of what's happened in your life and deal with the emotional side of things, whether it's looking at trauma, grief, loss. They'll help you identify stuff and work through it. We have a lot of past things built up normally that we haven't addressed, so looking at things like that, especially before I went in the jungle, I have issues with control, relinquishing control, which of course you have to do in the jungle entirely. So I worked on all of that before I went in there, which helped me immensely, and I do credit the Speakmans an awful lot with how well I did in I'm a Celeb. And then a life coach, he will help you deal with your day-to-day. So if there's a relationship that you are struggling with, if you want that specific job, if you're feeling stuck and stagnant and you want the next level but you don't know how to get there, that's where a life coach comes in. I hope I've explained those.
So they give you like plans, or just like speak it through?
We just talk it through. So I'll speak to Bill tomorrow and I'll tell him what I've been up to, how certain things made us feel. And he'll be like, well, was that good? Was that bad? I'll be like, well, kind of. It's kind of like it's helped me improve my relationship with me agents. With me, like, I'm in first time in probably 32 years. I'm in a really healthy relationship with a man. It's helped me get what I want out of my job. It's helped me accept who I am as a person and cut out toxic people. Mm-hmm. Like, more often than not, Frank's like, you're surrounded by people who aren't good for your energy, but I'm a bit, weirdly, I'm actually anti-confrontation, so I allow them to take advantage and push us around.
Really?
Yeah, mate, I hate it. I absolutely hate it. You'd think I was, like, walking around swearing, throwing things all the time, but actually, I'm such a fanny. I hate rowing with anyone, so yeah.
I am as well. I can't deal with any sort of confrontation.
And we shouldn't have to, though.
I'm so bad.
We shouldn't have to. Like, yeah. Bill, like, whoever he chooses, your life coach, mine's Bill, but he will help you, like, work stuff out and have those hard conversations with people without hurting anyone's feelings, and you get what you want out of them, so you're not just feeling like a doormat. Honestly, it's made me the happiest I've been in years, and I recommend it to anyone.
I feel like everyone needs a Bill.
Oh, we all need a Bill.
We all need a Bill. Bill, if you're listening, everyone needs one of you, all right?
You're in demand, mate.
Oh, thank you so much. It was so nice to talk to you. It's
you
funny,
too.
I don't feel like I've ever got to properly sit down and properly chat with you.
No.
But you gave us some great nuggets. Whether they were Bill's or not, we'll take them.
I can't take credit. It's all Bill. I'm basically just a facade.
Thanks again to the lovely Vicky Patterson. We all make mistakes growing up, but not many of us have had to do it in the public eye. So it was so fascinating to hear Vicky talk about what that was like. Now remember, this podcast is all about encouraging us to be open and have those hard but important conversations. If you're struggling with your mental health, the best thing you can do is to talk to someone. If you'd rather chat to someone impartial, there are plenty of resources and support provided by the mental health charity Mind. That's mind.org.uk. Until next time, look after yourself.